Jake is taking us through the 2011 NBA playoff run from the Mavs. We just got done with game four against the Lakers, a blowout on Mother's Day. I was there. I was reporting live. Also there was Tom Flakeboy Gribble, who was our producer at the time. And he now joins us. He's at the Ticket Studios. We are
Hello, Super Bad Radio.
Hey, man, how's it going?
It's going good. It's going great over here in the trenches on the front lines.
And we all remember Tom's involvement. He makes everything about him, so somehow he made this whole thing about him as well. But
as usual.
Yeah, maybe the greatest win in Mavericks history is about Tom.
Possibly 1920s reporter guys. Best bit? I it's up for debate. I like Peyton Manning. Phil Mickelson is so well known. But this to me, encapsulates the Hall of Fame career that Scoops Callahan has had, because he doesn't go after spares. Like, he would consider Ron Artest probably to be not big enough.
There's no doubt.
He started with Wayne Gretzky, the greatest hockey player in history. And this just goes right along with your resume, dude. You asked Phil Jackson, possibly, he's at least in the argument for the top two greatest coaches in NBA history. Red Auerbach, right?
Mm-hmm.
Phil Jackson, he's right there. And you asked the last question ever asked to him at any press conference that he has held as a head coach.
It's kind of surreal. I know Jake went over the amazing game that was the Mother's Day Massacre, and the excitement in the arena and everything was building, and I didn't think there was any way the Mavs were going to sweep when I walked into the AAC that day. And then when I realized not only were they going to win, but this was going to be that last shot at doing 1920s reporter guy with Phil Jackson, well, while everybody else was celebrating, I was starting to get nervous. That's when things started to change. Things started to get weird inside my stomach when I realized that, uh-oh, here we go. We've got to make this happen.
And there's no 13th hole at the American Airlines Center.
No,
like there
is not.
You want to lube up the media.
Can't take the edge off. No, they can use it.
For those who weren't there 9 years ago, like, should we play the audio now?
Yeah.
Just to let everybody remind you what it was, and then we could talk about it and stuff.
But, champ, being a Hall of Famer like the legendary Bonnie, Monty, Mike Cedrin, and having more rings than Douglas Fairbanks, even as Oscars, you have to ultimately take a lot of pride in knowing that you and your cage career were nothing but the bee's knees.
Amen. Thank you very much.
And he's off. Into the night. Calling it a career. Now, where does it rank for you? Have you done inventory on this?
Because of everything Dan was saying. Because of how prominent Phil Jackson is, the history of the moment, the fact that that was his very last press conference as a head coach. Yeah, that this is number one for me. The other ones are terrific in that they either got a great response from the player or the coach. I mean, they had to, like, make it awesome. But this just in and of itself was incredible. And then, you know, even getting a little bit of pushback from the media, which we can get into a little bit. And, I mean, the whole thing all came together just perfectly. When that microphone was going around the press conference room, and it finally just landed in my lap, and I knew, here we go, that it's like, okay, perfect.
Do you think the blowout made it easier? Because it seemed to me in rewatching this game that in the fourth quarter, Phil was extremely resigned to his fate a good hour and a half maybe before you got to him.
Probably.
Like, I halfway wonder if it's 101-99 with 5 seconds left, if he's still in, you know, pissed off Phil mode.
Yeah, you know what? That was the one thing about this situation that was comforting to me is that I knew that Mr. Phil Jackson was Mr. Zen. Mm. He's a child of the 60s. He's a hippie at heart. So I knew that he was going to, it was probably, he's no way he's going to be confrontational after this. He may stonewall me, he may gave me the silent treatment, but I thought he was just going to kind of, there's a good chance he's going to go with the flow and just kind of be totally cool. And I knew that because of the moment and Marty Mighty Mike Cedrin, which is the only basketball player from the 20s I could find in the actual Hall of Fame, that was going to be, it was going to be complimentary and it was going to laud his career. So I thought there was a good chance that he was just going to go with it and have a good time with it and laugh along with it.
So the media seemed to laugh there and have a good time.
And
like you said, you waited till the end. So it wasn't like you let everybody ask their basketball questions first.
How does it feel to be retiring? Talk about retiring.
Yeah. So, I mean, what was it like right afterwards? Was anybody pissed at you?
I remember looking around the room being so happy that, you know, I heard some laughter and he said amen and got up and all that. But I do remember looking over my shoulder and seeing a reporter from ESPN, J.A. Adonde, if I remember. He was not happy. I think he thought it was his right because he's from L.A., and he covered the NBA back then a ton. So I think he thought it was like his right to ask that last question. And in fact, it went to a numbskull like me. Really ticked him off. He was clearly not happy.
I want to play a little bit of reaction from the various networks that aired the press conference. Just little snippets here. This is from NBA TV.
Might be time to check some of those NBA credentials. just saying, I'm not involved with security.
TNT.
That's that guy who shows up at those press conferences and acts like the old-time reporter throwing the final question at Phil Jackson.
Oh, that's that guy. That's that guy who shows up.
Ernie Johnson knows who you are.
Yeah, but he does, but he knows him as that's that guy.
Right, right.
ESPN News.
Doesn't take much to get a microphone these days, or a press pass, apparently.
Nothing but the bees. That was like the Geico guy, right?
Wow, I have no idea who that was, but he got in there and he got a question in there.
And he's like the guy.
I have no idea what that was. Bill Jackson has won an NBA record 11 titles. So I have no idea what the last question was. It involved bees' knees, whatever. Chris Mullen joins us again.
Look, we're not covering the Department of Defense. Okay?
I mean, what was that?
Jeez.
To them, it is. To them, it is the Gulf War. It is.
That's why it's such a great bit, man. So I have... apparently, on the show the next day, we were laughing that there was a guy in Buffalo named Mike Harrington, and he's like a hardcore sports guy, maybe the Buffalo Coop, you might call him. But he was pissed about it. Blake went back and found all his tweets.
Awesome.
And he just tweets about sports generally, but if something interrupts his sports, he's very upset with it. Let me read them. So his tweets in order that day. Was Andre Ethier hit streak ends in 30 games. Now it's all about the Lakers. Hard to believe a two-time champ can go down in flames like this.
Sports.
You're now officially a disgrace. Can't even lose with a shred of dignity. Odom hit on Dirk. I would hope Bynum gets a good long suspension for the start of next year for that one. Flagrant as flagrant can be. Hashtag no class.
Ooh. Amen. Amen.
Was that the Bynum Berea thing? What the Lakers are doing is not just losing, but diminishing their history and tradition with cheap shots. Much worse than embarrassing. Now he's mad. No audio from the Phil Jackson presser? Come on, SportsCenter. That can't happen. He must have found audio because his next tweet is, all caps, what? The hell was that last question to Phil Jackson? Memo to NBA. Who Memo. Are you giving credentials to? Come on, that's a joke. He's responding to someone else who agreed with him. Great minds thinking alike. If I'm the Pro Basketball Writers Association, I'm embarrassed right now.
Oh, a dark day for the profession.
Oh, no.
He should not be credentialed. Don't care what kind of gig he's running. That's a disgrace. Mocking our jobs.
You're just getting out the Pentagon Papers and
now he's
whizzing
going,
all over them.
I don't know if this is you, but he's planning to send his Twitter mob on you. He says... Here's the bozo from the Phil Jackson question at Scoops Callahan. You would think they'd be pulling his credentials and his stations. Disgrace. The shtick makes a mockery of our profession. We're there doing jobs, not putting on comedy yet. If he showed up in a press conference I was in, I would march right over to him and chew him out on the spot.
Ooh, you're talking to.
Hashtag... Guaranteed.
Don't you do that.
George Zimmer.
That's awesome.
He then works in a, Yuri Hudler, a healthy scratch for the Wings.
Now back to work.
Hey, let me take a smoke break here. And,
back to Scoops. There are professionals there to work, period. Back he doesn't Scoops. Belong there. Lots of knee-slapping people in Dallas crushing me, defending Scoops Callahan. I'm sure the professional media doesn't share your laughter. Maybe I'll just block the entire city of Dallas.
Now how would that even...
Hashtag Scoops is a bozo.
Bozo.
Yes, that's the sweet, clean P1 coming to my defense. That's
hey,
great.
Everyone in Dallas, this is a real press conference. That's awesome. Not Super Bowl Media Day where all the freaks like Scoops can come out. Next one. I'm not bashing the ticket. I'm bashing the fact they employ a crackpot to interrupt the work of professional journalists for a laugh.
It's hurtful. That's hurtful.
So many people in Dallas seem to want to bring up no goal and Super Bowls. Maybe I should just talk about the grassy knoll.
Oh, jeez.
Because he's a Buffalo writer.
Oh, no.
Okay, a couple of sports failures to a president's brain ending up in a...
Sad commentary. Here's the last one. Sad commentary on the state of media in a major city like Dallas if a sports radio gag is so popular. Hashtag absurd.
So we got hashtag.
It's awesome.
Hashtag.
Classless. Guaranteed.
Scoops is a bozo.
Scoops is a bozo.
Absurd.
And absurd.
Wow. I can't argue with any of that. I think it's
so,
he's on the money.
Crackpot.
Blake was telling us something I don't recall. You were called by ESPN?
Well, there was a couple of things that happened afterwards. Because I, you know, it's funny that you brought the Buffalo Reporter, because I completely forgot about that tirade he put out on Twitter. But I remember Ashton Kutcher. That's what it, that was the one that I really remember. And he tweeted out something like, one of the worst days for a Lakers fan, at least ended on a high note. Hilarious question in the Phil Jackson press conference. Loved it. So
nice.
Yes, yeah. So the mastermind of Punk'd was all into the bit. So that was great.
And you also liked it, right, Jake?
Yes. That's,
so that's weird. Ashton Kutcher.
But at the time, I think Ashton Kutcher might have had, he was early Twitter guy.
Yeah.
And he might have had 6 or 7 million followers or something crazy like that at the time. And he's tweeting about Scoops.
And the funny part is back in 2011, Bob really cared about how many followers he had. And he was really mad at Tom.
Back then he did. Yeah.
Yeah. Just back in 2011. But Ashton Kutcher actually tagged you, Tom, and you got tons of followers. And I think you were creeping up to Bob, which he didn't really like.
No. He would not like that. He wouldn't like that at all.
Story.
Yes. But I remember that the day we talked about this, that Monday afternoon, I was at my desk and I got a call. And it was from a prominent member. Should I say who this was? Yeah, I'll say, because she's not working anymore. Sarah Melton from the Mavs called me up, and she was ticked. And I think she had just gotten off the phone with somebody from the Lakers or maybe the NBA, and she was completely going off on me like a Buffalo reporter would. I mean, just like, this, what is going on? You want to explain this to me? How could you do this? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm just kind of trying to explain it, just, you know, in the kind of half-hearted way I do.
So it's a fake voice.
And she ended it.
How does that go?
Yeah, and she kind of goes, and you know what? It's not funny. It's not funny at all. Which really hurt. I mean, that was like, oh, what do you mean?
Yeah, let us handle that.
Well, Ashton Kutcher said it was funny.
Right.
We thought it was funny.
Everybody's a critic. So that was, and that was where she said, you know, hey, you are not doing this anymore during post games. You are, that is it for you. I'm like, okay. All right. There we go.
And you had done it there before many times.
Quite a few, yeah.
You hit LeBron a couple times.
Popovich.
Cool with it. I think you had Phil Jackson in the past.
Yeah. I did. Yeah, that was at a shoot-around, but I did Popovich after a playoff game.
Yeah.
That's when an NBA guy pulled me aside and said, what are you doing here?
A lot of guys seem to not be bothered by Scoops Callahan, though.
Most.
It's fun. It's goofy.
Yes.
It's
I think LeBron kind of seems to like it.
The players usually don't have any problem with it. It's the media.
Such
guys.
Is always the case.
Yes, LeBron. Yeah. After starting off strong with LeBron, had a couple of shaky moments with him.
Right.
2 and 3 were not good. But this last time I did it with him, he was great. So, yeah. It just, you got to catch him in the right day. And LeBron's my buddy again.
The suits.
Well, salute, Tommy.
Thank you. Thank you. It's my pleasure to serve.
Exclamation point to this series. All right, man.